Fine. Okay, guys. So, I know it's been a while since we actually did the Sugapahadra, which is what we were on, shockingly crazy, a while ago. So, let's review quickly.
Who says what?
Let's not even try to figure out who says what. That's barely worth it. We'll try. So, if you remember, when we had Shir last, that wasn't the question of Machlok about Metziah. That was like the beginning of time or something. Mashu Kaze, yeah. It was before our world traveling and blah, blah, blah. So the Gemara had said that Tan Rabbanan Lechem Oni Prat Lachalut Lashisha Yachal Lo Yetze Adam Yidei Chovato B'Pat HaDra'a Tamad Lomar Matzot Matzot Riba Vafil K'matzot Shel Shlomo. Right, so the Gemara had said that you are Yotze with Pat HaDra'a. Okay? That was Lamed Vav Amud Bet. And then in Lamed Zayin, again, you had Tanarban Yotzin Bepat Nikia Uve Hadra'a. Yotzin with clean bread, with fine bread, and with Hadra'a. So we spent a long time last time trying to figure out who holds what. But let's just put the Shitot on the board. There were three Shitot of what it was, and no one is quite sure who said what. But let's just put this on the board. So what were the three shitot of what Pat HaDra is?
Whole grain.
Just bran.
Right, or worming. Right, remember? Worming.
There's also picking out and putting it back in.
Yes.
It's like part of
whole grain. Right, so there's whole grain, and then there's the unseparated. It's called natural and artificial. Fine. So now, if you remember, we spent a lot of time on the absolute nightmare of trying to figure out who holds what, where some people are convinced that Rashi thinks it's just bran. Some people think that no one would ever hold such an insane shita that it's only bran. It must be whole grain, or maybe the grain mixed in, but no one would ever hold just bran. And some people were so bothered by the entire sugya that they went with wormy. Okay, we're not going to rehash all of that now. But we saw that no one could agree on what the Rif said, no one could agree on what Rashi said, no one could agree on what the Rambam said, no one could agree on what anybody said in this, this sugya, which is just great. Just great. But let's try to hammer out the sheet out, okay? So, why is it that the Rishonim rejected the position that it's just bran, right? Why is it that people didn't want it? Well, so there were two reasons, right? One is, right, it doesn't rise. What's the other reason? It's patur from challah, right? That it's patur from challah, and as we saw, the Gemara assumes that the laws of challah can influence the way we think about matzah. What? Okay? So this was the problem, right? This was the problem, right? Was that it doesn't rise, and it's pater from challah. Right? This is the major problem with this shita, and this is why we came into the sugya specifically for this one, which is, we already saw what? That the question of not rising is a machloket between who? Very good. Is that in the case of Pat, Shenilosha, Vimei Peiro? Right? So you have the Rambam says it's fine, the Ramban says it's not fine. Why?
about the men or something.
The Rambam says it goes by the species that rises, and the Rambam says actual ability to rise. That's what we want. Okay? What we need to do is hammer this sugya out and figure out whether, in fact, are those actually equal? Is it possible that these would not be the same? Right? That the standards would not overlap. Okay, that is our goal. Okay, hopefully that summarizes enough of where we were. Right, now if you look back, right, we looked at some of the achronim, just to, if you look like at 9, right, where he says, Va'ani omer, this is nachlat zvi. Va'ani omer shalu kivin rashi k'mo shevino ator. Right, the tour things, right, so, just brand is Rashi according to the Torah. The Nachat Zvi says, just to remind you why we're not redoing this, he says, not just that Shita is wrong, but no one ever said such a thing. Right? These are the worst sugyot, by the way, ever. These are my least favorite sugyot, because half the sugyot is what is a possible Shita, and the second is which is a true Shita. Those are not, which is correct and which is possibly said by anybody. Right? So the Torah says, this is what Rashi said, and it's not wrong. And the Nachlat Zvi says it's so wrong that no one ever said it. Okay. Great. Similarly, you look at the Nar Shalom. Right? And that's why he ends up saying that Rashi thinks that Pad Hadra is this, is artificially whole grain, right? Mixed in with Subin, because that, okay, maybe that will rise. Nar Shalom says, "Achlumiu da'ati nira de mashgal rif shino kadra hainu pat kibar, kain ingmanu pat subin." And the rif, we had a further machloket. Does the rif hold like what we said Rashi may or may not hold like, or does he also not hold like what he might not hold like? Oh, do those words not? Does those words confuse you? Why should they do that? Right, and then he says the rif never held of it, and Rashi never held of it. Wonderful. Let's move to 11. Okay, 11 is where things start to get new, right? Things that we haven't seen. So the Eish L'Avram Nimbuchach. Now this is a little bit confusing because if you open up Shulchan Aruch, there's an Eish L'Avram. There are two Eish L'Avrams who wrote an Aruch Hayim. One is the one on the page, which is the Eish L'Avram of the Prima Gadim. Who's the Prima Gadim? Where's Kobe, by the way? Is he okay? Okay. I figured I hadn't seen it this morning, so. So, who wrote the Prima Gadim?
Definitely have him.
Yes, of course we have. Rabbi Yosef Ta'omim. Very good. From when?
1727.
There you go. Right? He's 18th century. He's one of the major commentators on Shulchan Aruch. He writes two commentaries on Shulchan Aruch. One is the Eish L'Avram, and the other is? No. The Prima Gadim is the overarching name of the book, and then he has two sub-perushim. One is the Eish L'Avram, the other is the Mishpitzot Zahav. What is the difference between them? The Eish L'Avram is a super commentary on the Magen Avram, and the Mishpitzot Zahav is a super commentary on the Taz, on the Turei Zahav. He is super important, but there is another very important perush on Shulchan Aruch called the Eish L'Avram, not a perush on the Magen Avram, but a perush on Shulchan Aruch, and this is the Eish L'Avram of Buchach, which is spelled like that, in case you were wondering. Right? Bet Vav Tet Shin Aleph Tav Shin. Buchach. What? No. Buchach was the capital of Morocco. Does it sound smarty to you? Buchach. I'm not exactly sure where Buchach is, but I know that it is not a Sephardi land. Okay. I say. Yeah. It's at Mayor's School, they're like teaching them different Zmirot, and they're teaching them like some Ashkenazi tunes and some Sephardi tunes. So he wanted to try reviewing Ki Eshmera Shabbat. I'm like, okay, which one did you do? Sephardi. So I did the Ki Eshmera Shabbat Sephardi one, right? What? You know, Ki Eshmera Shabbat, right? And then there's, and then I'm like, well, there's an Ashkenazi one, and it's about as Ashkenazi as you can get. They're like, what does it sound like?
I'm like, Kiesh Mirashavatya. I'm like, that is like the example. These are not like, you know nothing about them. You can tell which one is which, right? It's like trying to figure out the difference between the Svarti Jorya Kra and the one from the Beach Boys, right? You know, one of them is a Beach Boys tune. I remember which one. Yeah, I think that one, right? You're supposed, certain things, like, they come from cultures, they come from language.
And some come from the Beach Boys.
I do happen to like that in Mayer's school, right, they introduce them to both, but
that's
you should be able to tell where...
No, because Friday's meal began.
What?
You can very much tell Friday's meal.
Yeah, like, it's just a different sound. Anyways, the point is, Buchach is not... Yes, Buchach is Europe, thank you. Is Ashkenazi Europe. So the Ezhel Avram of Buchach says as follows: Hamechokek Yehuda hevi b'shem Achok Yosef Zal shulai rak b'chala ein mitzaref mishum dechtiv arisot teichem. He says problem two might not be a problem. Why not? Meaning, how could you say that just bran is potter if we know explicitly that bread made of only bran is potter from challah? Doesn't that show that it's not lechem or pot for the purposes of matzah or challah? So the Chelka Mechokek says, sorry, the Mechokek Yehuda, according to the Avram of Buchach, says that you can solve that by saying that they're not identical. Because it's not arisote, that is pater, because it's not arisotechem. It's not your dough. Aye, so now you'll tell me the katav amechokek Yehuda. Right, so if you're following this, Avram Buchach quotes the Mechokek Yehuda, who in turn quotes the Chok Yosef, who says that it can't be because it's pater from challah. But the Mechokek Yehuda defends it, and he says... No, sorry. He challenges on these grounds, and he says, "La sigalav mitzacha raka chay b'chalav yotzi dei chovan matzah bo." How could you say that something which is clearly potter from challah might be considered matzah? And what does he say? So now, if you're following this, Rav Avram Buchach defends the Chok Yosef from the critiques of the Mechokek Yehuda. Are we clear? Okay, good. Dat achok Yosef zal sfira lei shema sheinu mitzaref bechala hu rak mishum shein derech lishat arisatel. V'chiyuv chala chal bishat lisha. Ma shein kein masa shanu donin al shat achila v'az ein heker im pershu olo pershu klal. So the Mechokek, the Rav Avram Buchach says, first of all, he doesn't believe that we're dealing with this case at all. What are we dealing with? We're not dealing with this case. What are we dealing with? The artificial rejoining of the whole grain. Not whole grain. That's point one. But the second point is, he says, the artificial rejoining of the white flour with the bran by challah is a chayav. It's also potter by challah.
Right.
Why then would it be chayav here? So he answers and he says, there is a difference between challah and matzah. Even though we compare challah and matzah, there's an important difference. And that is, when does something become chayav in challah? By lisha, by kneading. When is something defined as matzah? When it's baked and you're eating it, right? Meaning after baking. So he says, look, if we're dealing with this, the artificial separating out and rejoining of grains, so by challah, are you still able to tell that it was, that it's an artificial mixture?
Yeah, because it goes...
Yes, because you're kneading it. You see the white flour, you see the bread, and you're mixing it together. But when you have baked bread, can you tell whether it's whole grain or artificial whole grain? No. How can I prove to you that you don't know the difference?
Because
Because most of your, because a lot of your whole wheat bread is that. They take white flour and they mix bran back in. Did you know that? No, you had no idea that that's what they do. When they say whole grain, they don't often mean natural whole grain. They mean...
Why would they do that?
Because so much of flour is already processed into white flour. Right? So, correct. Real whole grain flour is processed differently. It's very expensive. Whereas it's much cheaper to buy a lot of cheap white flour and then buy some of the garbage left over from white flour and mix in a small percentage of it to give you fiber so that you feel like you're eating healthy, right? His point is, but by lisha, would you know the difference? By kneading, would you know the difference? By kneading, would you know the difference? Yes, by kneading, you would know the difference because you could see there's the white flour. Exactly. So he says,
at least this problem you can solve.
Okay, so that's that problem. But does it solve the problem of not rising? Yes, of course it does, because
he's solving it only in this problem. Right? But this problem is still a big problem. But this problem,
it doesn't rise. It's only a problem in the pure bran. It's not a problem in the artificial mixing. Right? Because the artificial mixing does rise. It does rise, but what? But it's still potter from chala, and here's where he answers, right? Lisha versus, right? Whether kneading or baking is the critical moment, and that's going to explain at least that minor difference. But the major problem that we want to deal with, which is the continuation of our sugya with Pachin Lino Shalbe Peiro, that... Well, that's still a problem, right? That's still a problem. So now let's move to the Mogen Avraham. Mogen Avraham in 12 says as follows. Subin, Perish Rashi, Klipat Chitim Anoshim Meshach Tisha Umursan Anishar Binafet. Rashi says, brand. Ayin sham muchach ktsa deba lidei chimots.
What?
Morgan Abram says, I have a solution. What does he say? Yep. He's like, lo yachol leo.
What,
Vinny?
It actually
rises.
Wait, Rob, can we have a mitzio?
Right, Morgan Abram says, can't be. If he, Rashi says that you can use bran, it must be that he thinks bran rises. That's possibility one. What's possibility two? The Efshar Lomar Kevan Shuhu Min Abali De Chimots Lotse Bayde Chabata.
So, my answer is two answers. One is the virus, and two is right? Because it's a
It only needs to be the man. Reiti Morin Sheklipa Shekorin Shfrayel Eino Machmetz. Umi Yuzet Klipa Mikash. And then he says, some people say it doesn't rise. He's like, that's straw. Maybe the chaff of wheat does rise. I don't know. I don't know the answer to this. Or he just says, V'gam Yeshalo Nigbog Moktad Mamashet Chitim. And he said, you can't fully separate it. There will always be some wheat left, so it will rise.
So possibility three is residual flour.
That's not a statement about the bread.
Right, residual flour, okay?
That makes a lot of flour for me, by the way. I thought some beautifully stuff.
Oh, yes, for sure. With all this background, now I'm going to go, I will just skip the Brichadash, and I want to take you to source 14, to the Ohel HaShel Torah. Who is the Ohel HaShel Torah? Rav Yaakov Ariel Shlita. Rav Yaakov Ariel is, how do we say this? Awesome. Yes, Rav Yaakov Ariel is awesome. What? He just says that it's impossible that chaff won't have some of the grain still attached to it, and therefore, yes, maybe in theory the chaff itself won't rise, but whenever you have chaff, there's going to end up being some actual grain in there, and therefore there is just no such thing as actually only having chaff. He just doesn't think it's possible. Is that true? What? He says it's impossible. Yeah, so what would happen if the Magen and Avraham knew about machines, right? The Nafkamina with that would be...
Nowadays. Well, obviously, the Nafkamina here would be, well, machine, slash what we're about to say, which is... Yes, Amilam Chita, where it is tested that it has less than 20 parts per million, right? So now, right, I know this is a mess, whatever. The sugya is a mess.
So when you say it's still, ah, there's still something left in it you really can't.
So that's the question, right? So now we want to ask, right? This is the sugya that's going to bring it all together, which is Amilam Chita, which is gluten-free wheat, right? Which is defined scientifically or medically for the purpose of now, less than 20 ppm, okay?
Less than 20 parts per million. Okay, which, if you remember in Halakha, these are numbers we care about. A half, a 60th, a 100, right? Not this. This, nobody cares about 20 parts per million. We don't care about 20 parts per million. 20 parts per million is a meaningless number in Halakha, right? That's what we call nothing. Right? In Halakha, we call that basically nothing. Under most circumstances. Except for things that are not but though. Yeah, except for Chametz and Pesach. Yeah, that might be
right. That's
very personal. Fine. But the question is, in theory, Amilan Chita, again, right now, most Amilan Chita, as far as I can tell, is made by washing the grain with water, and therefore it is halachically Chametz. But let's say you could get to the point where it's not, and you would have wheat with no gluten whatsoever. Would that be able to be used for matzah? That is the question that was posed to Rav Yaakov Riel. And in order to answer this question, he is going to synthesize this sugya of pot shenilosha maybe a perod and pot hadra'a. He's going to ask whether in fact they are the same sugya, and he is going to be the final part of this sugya to finally flesh out exactly what do we mean when we say that something must be able to rise. Ready? I gave you the whole Tshuva Barak Ariel because he is amazing. We won't necessarily read every line inside, but I do want you to see how a master posek paskins. Because Barak Ariel, if you don't know, used to be the chief rabbi of Ramat Gan. He is a leading posek in the Dati Lomi world and the religious Zionist world. Retired. You have to retire by law from the chief rabbinate when you're at 75. Yeah. They have to.
Is he like Ronald
David
though?
So, I think. Is he still chief rabbi? Wait, no, he's not because he's 85. He can't be. Let's see. What is he up to these days? Rav Yaakov Ariel, who Rav Ir Ramat Gan Leshavar. So he's still, it looks like he's still the Av Beit Din of Ramat Gan. He won the Pras Yisrael in 2020.
Wow.
Israel Prize.
Wow. What is that for?
For his writing. Israel Prize is like it's Israel's national award for accomplishment. He's the Nasi of the Yeshiva Hezder in Ramat Gan. And the Yeshiva Haktana Derech Chaim. And the president of the following organizations. Chotam, Machon HaTorah V'Aretz, Forum Takana, Keren Yachad, Midrashot Uriya, Aviv, Vadat, Keren Echad L'Echad, Machon Keter, Ve'achirim. And one of the poskim of Eretz Chema, Machon Somet, and one of the presidential board of Ichud Rabbanei Torah HaAretz HaTova. And the Dayan, a Dayan in Eretz Chem de Gazit, the Chaver Bevi'ida at Artsit of Bnei Akiva, and Hana al Artsit of Bnei Akiva. Yeah, he does a lot of things. Anyways, Yeah, he's great. Anyways, so he wrote. He has a set of tshuva ba'ala shel Torah. Oh, let's see how you doing. What's new? You've been saying that to me for weeks. Blah, blah, blah. You're saying this for weeks. Blah, blah, blah. Government will collapse, won't collapse. Who knows? Maybe. I don't know. Like I can predict Israeli politics at this point. This government's lasted longer than several of the others, I think. Shkoyach. Thank you. Because we've had a very stable government the last several years. Love this country. Love this country. I was listening to some podcast, and it was like, well, what do we learn from the American lesson? Well, let's see. Where was America at 75? They were about on the verge of civil war. So, yeah. Yeah. I'm like, great. Great. Okay. So, anyways, Rabbi Yaakov Ariel, this keeps me saner. He was asked, Sheila, Chole Kareset. Someone who has kareset, i.e., celiac. Shasur b'achilat minei dagan regilim afil matzahs yamishibol etshul asur alo. Right? Let's make it easy. Right? We'll leave aside the oat sugya by saying he can't eat oats, which many celiacs can't because of the similar proteins that exist in oats. Again, it doesn't have gluten, but it has similar proteins. Ein roshay lachol pesach al matzahs mi dagan natul gluten. The only matzah you could eat is gluten removed wheat. Ha'im u'yachol atzei yidei chovat achilat matzah b'lal arishon shel Pesach b'matzam yuchedet zu. Could he use such matzah? So, what do we say? What would you say? So, first paragraph. He says, well, first of all, just know that for people for whom this isn't an issue, we've already talked about the fact that many people think ideally you should have wheat. Okay, but that's not an issue for this guy. Whatever, shush out, if you don't want to call this normal wheat, it doesn't matter. Because this guy is special. Fine. Now, he says there's a second major sugya, which again, we're sidestepping, which is... No, we're not going to sidestep that one. Which is the general question of chole and his exemption from mitzvah. Because obviously, as I said... Lemaisa, if you want a poskin for a celiac, in a case of celiac, you need to know how sick they're going to get and how sick counts as sick to pass you from mitzvah, and that's a much bigger sugya, which again, it's not a psachim sugya per se, but it is halachic, part of the halachic sugya if you want to figure out what someone with celiac should do. What?
Well, that would be
fine. It's a great sugya. But if you leave those two sugya aside... The major sugya you need to figure out here is what does ra'ui lahachmitz mean? That's the major sugya that you need to figure out. Yes? Agreed? That once you sidestep the question of choleh and the question of various minhagim, the halachic question of if this is matzah is how do you define ra'ui lahachmitz? So, at first glance, what would you tell me? Rambam, Rambam, very good. So, if you look at section Aleph, he starts off like this, and he says, "Mi beirur shenerach im mumchim ole shelelo gluten habatzek eino machmitz." Said by asking experts, I discovered that this doesn't rise. Therefore, the key sugya is, if you look at the next paragraph, where there's space, is the Gemara in Psachim Lamed Hey, that's our sugya. Amar Kra, lo tocholav chamet shivat yamim, tocholav matzot, dvarim habayim, lidei chimutz adam yotzei ben yidei chovato b'matza. Yatsu elu she'ein bayim lidei chimutz. And the Gemara says that it has to be ba lidei chametz. Aye, so you'd say it's possible. And the next paragraph he says, no, maybe not. You can distinguish between gluten-free wheat and rice, because matzah zu amnam einam yechala leachmitz below a gluten, ach benigud lematzat orez v'dochan hamin, mimenu asuya liachol lavo lidei chimutz. Right, he says it is. It's different from rice because it's the same. Min, very good. And now he says, aha, that's machloket rishonim about mei peirot. So, v'nireh, next paragraph, just follow, make sure to follow along with me here. V'nireh sheshe'elatenu tluya v'machloket rishonim b'inyan matzah ashira sheni nosha b'mei peirot. This is the machloket of mei peirot. Now he notes that in the Gemara raises two problems with it. One is lechem, oni, and the other is balidei chimutz. The Gemara seems to reject, at least in certain cases, the problem of whenever. Now, if it's only about lechem oni, so then you would say, besides the lechem oni problem, it's about the min. And he says, well, in order to figure this out, what would you have to see? Whether? And what would you have to see about mei peirot? Does mei peirot rise? Remember, we saw that's a machloket. Who's that a machloket between? Rashi and Tosfot. Where Rashi thought that mei peirot rises, and Tosfot thought, right? Rashi says it rises at a different rate, and the machloket in the Gemara is only about whether you think it becomes chametz immediately or in the same time frame as water, and Tosfot thought that mei peirot does not rise at all, right? Does not rise. At all. So look at the last paragraph on this page. V'amnan memshech ha-sugya gam Rashi modesh meper yesh lachshosh lach matzar isa l'ado zohi maskanat ha-sugya ela shachimut shoneh menachimut shebo askinan shekenu eno chimut meuleh lachametz garua. Rashi seems to think it's chametz, point one, but two, what type of chametz? Garua. It's not perfect chimutz, and that's why Rashi thinks that what type of chimutz are you chayvin? Chametz nuksha, very good. Sha'amnam gam wasr b'chilach ma'idach ein mokare kemo chametz nuksha. V'afo b'chil ha'am agaram di'ag midvara b'nin patsubin u'morsan. Sh'nyan chimutz zlinan batar amin shala itza. Velo bater isa zu shelifaneinu kefisha diaknu leil. Now, what's the problem? So, Magen Avram notes that is medayek that according to Rashi, when it comes to mei peirot, he paskins like the Rambam, namely that's the min. But by pat hadra'a. Look at the next paragraph. The Yeshlash top of the next page. The Yeshlash of the Dochak. Shechametz Nuksha Eino Nechsha Vasoy Lachmetz. Kevan Chenu Chametz Gamor. V'dok Peloshen Gamor. Advarim Shadam Yotze B'den Yidecho V'atob B'matzah Chayav V'nachimut Zakaret. That which could become matzah, your Chayav Karet. V'ain Chayav V'nachimut Zakaret. U'mash Maktzat Sh'rak Sh'mish Chayav V'nachimut Zakaret Yotze B'decho V'atob B'matzah V'chametz M'nuk Sh'lo Chayav V'nachimut Zakaret. Right, so Rashi says that you're not yotze unless not only can it become chametz, but it can become real chametz. Nimtzenu lemedim beRashi shemina isa hu akovea et ha'achshara. So he says, if according to Rashi, what? He thinks that chametz needs to be chametz gamur, and nevertheless he holds that patsubin works. And what does that hold according to Rashi? That it's fully about what? The min. Because the chimutz of mepero doesn't count. It's not considered rising at all, which means that it's the min. And pat hadra, if you think it's fully patsubin, also shouldn't rise, right? Which is like the middle answer of the Magen Avraham, right? So Rabbi Yaakov Ariel says, simple pshat according to the Magen Avraham, number two, is that the Rashi has a consistent shita that all you need is min. And therefore, he allows meperot. He allows, even though he thinks meperot can't become chametz, right? He thinks that's what would have been necessary to make it matzah, except you only need the min, so it's not a problem. Two is he holds possibly the most radical position that matzah made only of bran is mutter, even though it doesn't rise at all. And the easy explanation is he holds min all the way. On the other hand, next section, Peshitta Ramban. So according to this, according to the Rambam and Rashi, should gluten-free wheat matzah work? Yes. Based on two sugyot. One is meperot, and the other is the radical read of pat hadra'ah, that it's only the bran, according to Rashi. Which again, is machloket. But if you took the radical understanding of min, you could justify both the meperot sugyot and the radical pat hadra'ah sugyot. Okay? But here's where things get interesting. Okay, so skip bet, that's the Ramban. Where things get interesting is Gimel. Okay, this is where we're going to read it inside. V'licha ora yesh lahakshot ala Rambam. However, there is a stira in the Rambam. She stira bidvarav. Ben masha pasak binyan me pirot. Levein masha pasak binyan patsubin. Between his position by fruit juice matzah and by bran. Matzah, the bran matzah is matzah zunikreit v'lashon ha-gemara pat hadra'a mishum shenital kol hadara u'betchila savra o'braita lomar shenanem yotze yidei chovato el bepat zu mishum shehi lechem oni ach maskana chazra b'vedarsha matzot matzah riba. The gemara had a hava amina that pot hadra doesn't work because of lechem oni concerns, and the Gemara then continued to say, no, it does work. Upirish Rashi hadra'a shenitel kol hadara dainu peit pat kibar. The Rush understood Rashi how. Harash hezik mepirish Rashi shepat subin kshera lamatza avobi she'ein ba dagan vihi eina machnitza. The Rosh understood Rashi is taking the most radical shita, namely, only bran, only the chaff. Vizod l'shitato, and this works Rashi l'shitato. Why? Because all that matters is
the min.
Shemina matzu zeshitzarach lachmitz v'dayrek achu gumosh gadol el. However, how did Shulchan Aruch understand the Rambam and the Rif? Even though we saw Machloket about how to understand the Rambam and Machloket about how to understand the Rif, but how did Shulchan Aruch understand the Rambam and the Rif?
Whole grain,
or the artificial mix, but not bren. Therefore, Sharif Rambam Cholkin Alav V'Sovrim Shepatzu Bin Psula Lematzah V'Chein Pasuk and Shulchan Aruch. V'amagan Avram hivilalachadat Rashi. And the Magen Avram, remember, quotes Rashi la'alacha, who holds that what? Shepatzu b'n shere l'mazah v'kata behezre dvarav v'efshar lomar kevin shumi mina bali nechal adyotze v'dei chavato. Now, there's a lot of assumptions here, but if Rashi, in fact, takes the most radical possible position, and the Rambam does not, then we need to explain what? And this is where Rabbi Yaakov Ariel is.
Why might you say that, yes, that matzah ashira goes by min and works, but suben doesn't, right? Why would you distinguish
between them? I understand if you don't distinguish between them. Why would you not distinguish? Because you hold it's about the min in both places. But let's say that Shulchan Aruch is right in the Rambam. Why would you say that matzah ashira is fine because it goes by the min, but patsubin, but something made completely of bran which doesn't rise, doesn't work?
Maybe you could say that there's a secondary condition of that the thing itself didn't have to have risen, but the thing that you used had to have had the potential to have risen.
Did it?
From the man.
When he says it goes by the grain, it means that the grain beforehand has to be something that could actually rise.
Okay, meaning? No, sharpen it.
That these separate ingredients beforehand have to be things that allow rising.
Which ingredient?
The min had to have been able to...
Well, if it's by min, it's not a problem. Min, it should be kosher.
No, but min just means pre-mixture of grain.
Oh, so not min. What?
The grain you use before, it's in the mixture.
Okay, good. So, Riago Real says it goes like this. Well, look, Vitzarach Lomar, Shah Zoe Gamgamana Rosh Bona Deve Rashiach, Masha Jamu Cholekos for a zoo. Then can Yeshkan Stira, the Mashkadul El Bidato, right? So Rashi maybe says it's men, but according to Shulchan Aruch says Rama, there's a contradiction. She'll got a matzah, she'll know she may pay out, because by fruit juice, Pasak Shi, Kshira. He says it's kosher, it works. Because that shows you need the species that can rise and not matzah that could actually have risen. Last page. Umeidach Gisa, on the other hand, bepat subenu cholik al Rashi. V'sover shelo amin kovel rak matzah zu shelfanenu yakovad. It's the matzah in front of us. In mamase ina yichol lachmit harei he psula. Vin yir elefian nidati. He says lechalek ben amikrim. There's a difference. Matzah subenu amnam asuya mimin harei lachmit. It's true. It's the right species. But by separating the kernel from the chaff, it cannot become chametz. The ingredients cannot become chametz, as Jah says. So we can't be matzah. Matzah ashira ru'uya be'etzem la'achmetz. It can become chametz, ela shegorim chitzoni monea zot mimena. But an external factor stops it. V'chein yotzim b'lidat haramam given sha min roi l'achmetz. Ulefi zvarazu, if that's true, then matzah netulat gluten domeh yoter l'matzat subin. V'im kein yevshar l'atzei v'edei chova ulam l'dat rashi aliba demage avram shenyera gandara rash. So Rav Yaakov Ariel suggests that, and I know the calculations here are very complicated. Can I erase this? I know it's a complete mess. I'll take a picture. Sure. Take a picture, and then just to show you the halacha l'maisa, okay? Yeah? Okay. So now, fine. So I want to leave the calculations aside, because the calculations are impossible. But let's just go back to what we've been doing this whole segment, which is Roi Lachmitz. What does Roi Lachmitz mean? So according to Rako Ariel, there's three possibilities. What is it? One is, it must
actually be, no, not rise. That would be chametz. Don't you dare say that. It must rise. No, that's called chametz. No, no. Be able to rise. This is who? Ramban. Then he has two other possibilities, which is, right? All that matters is, that matters, is the men. And this is, according to him, Rashi, Lefi, Harosh,
and also
and Logan from number two. Right? And then here is
the ingredient. Has to
let's be call it, let's have different formulations. Is
flour in the mixture.
The grain must be able to rise. This is Josh, right? Slash, according to him, right? Rabbi Alfred Ariel is the lack of rising must be external
to the grain.
To the grain.
Okay. That's, right? That's what I was trying
right?
to.
Right. This is Rabbi Alfred. Okay. The not now, according to him, that would mean that what? That matzah mime peiro
is good.
Is good, but fully mesubin to be
X.
Bad. Yes. And now he says, okay. So what about amilan chita, right? Wheatless.
Right, wheat, glutenless wheat.
That would go into the subin category.
Wheat without gluten. So he said, according to Ramban, no. According to Rashi, yes. And according to Ramban, no. Okay, this is much neater. Right, these are 3 models. Now, obviously, the big asterisk here is no one has any idea.
What?
But that's why he's calling this Rosh and Lefi Rosh and Mugin Avram too.
Great. And it might be Rambam. Maybe.
Right? Rambam maybe.
Alright, this is
Rambam maybe, Rambam. Maybe not. One of two of
Rambam and Riff.
Maybe.
Rambam, Avram ibn Rambam.
Sure. Possibly. Okay. So he says, if that's the case, v'imkein yitachein shegam. But he says, what's the problem? Achkasha l'smoch la'alacha al de'azu. He says, however, la'alacha, he says, the lumdus is great. La'alacha, not so great. Why? Kamen sh'achorna machirim, afarshim and rashi bofen machirim. Because
he's like, this may not exist. Right. He says, "La halacha."
Okay, fine. Yeah.
Anyone holds such a
position? It's all hitting the fan now.
Right? He says, and this is, by the way, brackets for a moment. Right? Remember, I've told you before that one of the big differences between lumdus and psak is this question: is that in lumdus, what matters often is possibilities. And here, can we agree that these are 3 conceptual possibilities in the sugya?
Maybe.
Sure. These are possibilities.
Well,
but in Psak, it matters not just what possibilities exist, but possibilities that are actually taken by actual people. So Rav Yaakov Ariel says, aha, I have constructed a position of the Magen Avraham understanding the Rosh understanding Rashi in 1 of the 3 positions of the Magen Avraham. Yay! I have a lumdish position that justifies Amilan Chita. And he's like, yeah, but
Rashi is ambiguous.
Magen Avraham himself has 3 possibilities of what's going on there. And as we saw, the Na'ar Shalom and the Brichadash, they're all like, this sheet that just may not exist. Like, this may not exist. Now, it might be that it exists and the Rambam agrees. Or it might be that nothing here exists at all.
So much effort for
what? I mean, maybe. He says, "V'lo kavan rashi medura padas sovei shivin bavad lozer v'dagan l'dugma." He says examples: Hakarban netanel peir shalibi the rashi shabbat adra he pat kebar sheina shivin mitzvim bavad. The carbon netanel says it's whole grain or artificial whole grain. Ela zupan mereve midagan mesubin v'chein kadav berke yosej or kebar rashi shivin mikemach sheino yafesh. This is meravin bo. V'imkeni tachen shigam rashi sover kidara rifa rambam. If that's the case, maybe Rashi holds like what he said. The Rambam the Rif holds. According to all of those achronim, endless to make efal Rashi. Now let's say yidei chovatam b'matzah hanetula gluten, nutula gluten. V'yesh again gamkim magen Avram, right? And he says, and even the magen Avram only said this as efshar shamin goveya, right? He says even the magen Avram isn't convinced that Rashi held this. It's one of his three explanations in Rashi. Therefore, lehalacha, what does he say? So he says, so briefly, I'll take your question in a minute. He says, well, on the one hand, Shulchan Aruch holds by Mei Perot something sort of like the Rambam. Right? So, right? He quotes the Rambam or something like that, right? Mei Perot below Mayim in Machmitz and Klal, Mutter Lefot bePesach. Right, he says something like the Rambam, that it's about, well, whatever the Rambam holds. He notes the Rambam might be a little bit different than the Rambam. Namely, umash midvarav shekol psula shel isa zrak mishum she'ein lechem oni, v'lo mishum she'peret einam rizrum lechem eitz. Right, he says that matzah mixed with fruit juice is only possible because of lechem oni. Amnam hu lo kibel dat aram sharak shel nosha b'nei mashkim nechshavim matzah shira lehechmer hu pasal kol mei perot. He said, just remember that the Rambam limited it to those three liquids and therefore thought that matzah with mei perot is kasher lechatchila. That Shulchan Aruch seems to reject, right? So you have to parenthetically note that
there was the other matzah that we did. Everyone agrees that there are that some liquids violate lechem oni, right? And here he knows that Shulchan Aruch says all, and therefore, even though he agrees on the chametz point, he thinks that what? That you can't use it for matzah mitzvah because it is not lechem oni. And the Rambam says that only the three liquids are lechem oni problem, which implies that what?
Other
juice is matzah, can be matzah mitzvah. Right? Can be matzah mitzvah. So he says this, Shulchan Aruch disagrees with. So lehalacha, you wouldn't be able to use matzah shira of any sort. But because of the lechem oni problem. But on the ra'oi lahachmitz, not ra'oi lahachmitz, he passes like the Rambam against the Rambam. Okay? However, what about by Subin? He passes like who? The Rambam. Aye, why would you do that? So what's his answer? You tell me, what's his answer? That. Is that the Rambam doesn't really hold min. The Rambam holds ingredients, not min. Or the grain, but not the min per se. The grain, not the liquid. And if that's the case, then Shulchan Aruch actually holds like this analysis of Rambam. So maybe Perot would be matzah, if it weren't for the lechem oni problem. And, but Patsubin, fully Subin, fully chaff, is a problem, because he paskins like that. Now he says, maybe there's other svarot, you could always, whatever. And then he goes through, right, the whole calculus. He says, v'im na'amod l'minyana poskim. So now if you want to count up the poskim, masinu eifo chaber l'ramam and Hashem v'hu rashi, v'amagam, magam avram evio, chen nirem en shalchan shabazak roniki shitazu,
so he says, Yochel, let's say, Mimazan to a gluten. Arach Ra'ui, Shemi Safek, Lo Yivarach de Lachush Ledar Aramban. So he says, what's the best halacha that he can generate from this sugya? That what should somebody do who can't have oats? His only theoretical possibility would be wheat without gluten. So what would it be? What does he say? Based on this analysis? Eat it without a bracha. Right? Because according to Rashi, according to Magen Avraham, you'd be yotzei. But you might not. So eat it without a bracha. What do you have to lose? And that's what he... And that's what he says.
Okay. Is amila and chita halachically lechem?
Good. So that parents, that's a machloket. There are three deot. Like you mean whether you can make hamotzi on it?
Yes.
So there's three deot in poskim as to whether amila and chita can be used for challah. One shita is yes, because what makes it bread for the purpose of hamotzi is the starch, which is filling, right? And this has the starch. Amilan is starch. That's what it means. Amilan chita is the starch of wheat without the gluten. So one possibility is, yeah, what makes it hamotzi is the fact that it satiates, which comes from the wheat, from the starch and not the gluten. The opposite extreme is no.
Yeah.
Right? No, because what makes it bread is the ability to rise and all that. And the middle position is what makes something bread is that it is the normal starch that you use for bread, and therefore celiacs would make hamotzi on it, and non-celiacs would not.
Wow.
So in my house, we very comfortably paskin like day one, because I think it is obvious that in the context of bread, the issue is satiation, whereas by matzah, it might be rising. I see no reason to buy smara two or three, but you should know that there is such a machloket.
Wait. So have them in lechem in some regard, but not in other.
Again, the three deos. One is it's fully lechem, but not necessarily matzah. Right. That's dependent on this sugya, but that makes sense.
Right.
Right. The second position is no. That what's true of matzah is true of lechem.
Right.
That without that, it's just not. If it's not fully right. bread, it's not bread. And the middle position is it's weird bread, and therefore for those for whom it is normal, it is hamotzi, and for those who it is not normal, it is not. Okay.
Okay.
That's a weird shita. I agree with you. Okay. Then he notes that Rav Yaakov Epstein, in Chevel Nach, the author of Chevel Nachalato, brings another daya that it is the min from Kemach Chalut. Right. So this is yet another sugya which we didn't get into. But if you just noticed while you're going through the sugya, there's another sugya which is Chalut. Right. What is Kemach Chalut? It's scalded grain, which can it rise? No, but the Gemara says, Maker Adin, you're allowed to use it. So that would be a raya for what? The extreme, Rashi, right? So so another potential sugya that supports this is chalut. Okay? However, it might not be. Why might chalut be different? Because chalut might work even according to Rambam. Because you didn't remove anything, you just burnt it. Right? And therefore the ingredient, right?
So chalut, right? So Rabbi Ariel said the fact that chalut is kosher might prove Rashi according to Magen Avraham, but it might prove
this sheet of the Rambam, namely that it can't be it can't be.
That's weird, though.
Right, and correct, and then you'd have to figure out whether this is considered internal or external. Right, when you stop the rising process.
That's weird.
Correct. So that's why you have to figure out what exactly chalut would be, and would make it complicated, and therefore lahalacha. If you just look at the end, what's his psak? Maskana nir e larot lachala karetzet shinu mishuk alachol matzah b'chira mina idagan alachar shatziu mehem et agluten. That what you should tell them is to eat it without a bracha. But again, he notes that lehalacha, the other major question you have to figure out is how sick are they going to get? Right, which again, that's the other major question in the background, which is, are they actually getting that sick? And even if they are getting that sick, how sick do you need to be to put for a mitzvot, which is obviously a whole nother sugya. But for our purposes, that's where we're going to leave this. So we've now seen three models of what Roi L'Hachmetz means in the sugya of matzah with fruit juice, in pat hadra'ah, in gluten-free wheat, possibly in chalot, the different understandings of subin. We noted that it's very hard to pin down who holds what, but those are the three conceptual models, and this is the halacha l'maaseh question that emerges from it. With that, we will put this sugya to rest for now. And we'll stop there.